Good evening, Alex. Welcome to the Space Show.
Glad to be here.
And most people will be aware that nuclear tests were done in Australia, and Maralinga, of course, is perhaps the best-known one. But there were tests elsewhere in Western Australia, weren't there?
That's right. They were held in the Montebello Islands, about 1,200 kilometres north of Perth.
And how long did that last for?
They went from 1950... There were two test times, 1952 and 1954.
Okay.
Or 1954 and 1956.
I'm not sure. All right. Okay, so they're a long time ago.
Oh, yes.
And not of recent times.
No.
Okay. Now, that must have been quite devastating at the time, and presumably the wildlife and science had time to recover to some extent. I believe you've been involved in monitoring that recovery.
We've been involved using satellite imagery to look at the marine habitats rather than the habitats on the land. The islands have just been classified as A-class reserve, and the Conservation and Land Management Department are actually doing the land surveys at the moment. We were involved in the marine habitat surveys, where we used the satellite imagery to act as a base map for the further field work. The museum, WA Museum, were involved in that, identifying species and coming up with classifications of the various marine habitats.
The habitats have been affected not only by the nuclear tests in the past, but they have quite a few cyclones go through that area, don't they?
That's right, there's a number of cyclones there, and a lot of the vegetation is rather stunted, spinifex and very small trees. Local wildlife has been devastated by the rats and the cats that were brought to the Montebello Islands during the testing.
And how big are these islands?
They range about 30 kilometres in length. There's a chain of islands. There is one fairly large island, although it's incised by a number of eroded features. Mainly the just limestone platforms with a bit of sand on top with spinifex. Mm. And there's a fairly high tidal range, and there's interconnecting sand flats, intertidal flats, exposed at low tide.
So why do you use satellites? So the area is quite small. Wouldn't it be just easy just to simply fly over the aeroplane and stick a camera out the window and take a photo?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they do that as well, but the beauty about the satellite data is that we can actually control it, and we get an image that is geometrically correct, and that way we can use instruments like GPS to give us our positioning, so we can find out where we are.
Can tourists go there?
They can only go there by boat. They're not permitted to camp on the islands. They've got to stay on the boats. And the seas can get pretty heavy. It's about a 6 or 7 hour trip from the nearest port.
Okay. There are other islands along the Western Australian coast, of course, that tourists can go to. You've been involved in monitoring their activity?
Yes. The only touristy island that's allowable is actually Rottnest Island. There are other islands there. The Barrow Island, for instance. Rottnest Island is a touristy island off the shores of Perth. It's half an hour to get there. It's a pretty good place. Most people like to enjoy the time there. Other islands off the coast are the Houtman or Brolis Islands, are the centre of a fishing industry and rock lobster industry. We did a similar project there where we did some classification of marine habitat types. The idea of this is to produce habitat maps in order to work out a planning strategy and a management strategy for these areas. The Abrolhos Islands are limited to those that can attend to professional fishermen who are allowed to attend there during the season. Other than that, again, you can go out there on boats, but you can't leave the boats.
Most of our listeners will be aware of a comedian from New Zealand who does jokes on television called John Clark. And when there was a ship that broke down, they did an imitation interview with the Western Australian Minister of the Environment, and just said basically the ship had been towed out of the environment. Obviously oil spills are a concern all around Australia. Any work being done on monitoring things before the oil spills happen?
One of the things that happened with that oil spill, that was the Kirky. We managed to actually help locate where the oil was likely to go by using remote sensing. We have a current that moves south, a southward moving current called the Lewin current. And by using the NOAA AVHRR, the Advanced Very High Resolution Radiometer instrument on that satellite, we could actually trace where the current was. And if it hadn't been for the presence of the current, we would have had quite severe pollution on the beaches. We were fortunate that the current took the oil away from the coastline and broke up out to sea. Oil. There's always a threat of oil spills along our coastline, simply because we have shipping going backwards and forwards, particularly to places like Barrow Island, and we have the oil-producing areas in the northwest. Every care is taken. We're looking at mapping seagrasses and marine habitats to fit into a coastal resource atlas in order to look at the high-risk areas, so we know where to send protection teams, booms, and the like.
Mm. Some of the islands, of course, have been pretty well devastated over the past century or two. Any work being done on rehabilitation of those islands at the moment, and is satellites involved in that work?
Yes, they are. A lot of the early devastation occurred on islands like the Abrolhos, where they used to harvest guano, which was the early form of fertilizer. Barrow Island is designated as an oil-producing area, and recently there have been a number of oil wells created on Barrow Island. The work there during the exploration created a number of seismic lines and roads and tracks. We've recently completed some work to see how the rehabilitation of those seismic lines is going. The West Australian Petroleum Consortium, commonly known as WAPET, have done some great work in rehabilitation there. There are all sorts of rules and regulations to make sure that the environment is kept safe and will rehabilitate in its natural state. You may have heard of Harry Butler, who does a lot of work up there. He's their consultant on that area.
Okay. Well, Alex, thanks for joining us tonight on The Space Show.
It's a pleasure.